Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning brings us to the threshold of the season of Lent. On Wednesday, we begin that Lenten journey, that journey with Jesus to Jerusalem, to the upper room, the Garden of Gethsemane, Calvary's cross, and finally, the empty tomb. But before we begin that solemn Lenten journey with our Savior, before that we pause to remember what took place on that Mount of Transfiguration, where the disciples, the three beloved, Peter, James, and John, were given a glimpse of who Jesus really is. Not just some rabbi, some teacher traveling with him, but rather to see Jesus in his divine, godly splendor, in the glory that was rightfully his as the very Son of God who came down from heaven, born of the Virgin, to be our Savior and Lord. Yes, before we enter into that season of Lent, we have that glimpse again of who Jesus really is, the Son of God and the Son of Man, who comes to be our Savior to ransom us from our sin and its darkness. And so as we turn to what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration, it helps if we also focus in on what happened just before this. All three of the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all draw attention to what happened days earlier before Jesus took the three disciples up on the Mount of Transfiguration. They all three mention the days before and after those days, this happened. What was so important that all three of them draw attention to what had happened before what takes place in the mountain? Well, before that, we're told that the disciples were there. Jesus asked them a question. Who do people say I am? But then more pointedly, he says, but who do you say that I am? It's then that Peter makes that confession of faith. You are the Christ, the Son of God. And then Jesus goes on, after Peter's confession, to share that first prediction. That first prediction of what would happen in Jerusalem. He says to them, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. He tells them the horror that they will see in Jerusalem as their beloved teacher is betrayed and nailed to a cross, but raised to life. But then he goes on in Luke's gospel to share that if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Yes, taking up the cross and following as our Savior leads. And certainly that's what we'll do during that season of Lent, as we'll take up our cross and follow our Savior on the way to His cross, where He offers Himself for us. And so then after those 8 days, after that prediction of His death, Jesus takes with Him Peter, James, and John up on that mountain with Him in themselves, and something happens. As Jesus is there on the mountain in prayer, suddenly His appearance changes. He shines with a brightness that they'd never seen before. The brightest of light, as God Himself is light, as He declares. And in Him there is no darkness. And so in Jesus there was that brightness of that heavenly light that was His as the Son of God. And the other Gospels tell us too that His clothing became dazzling white, brighter than you could ever bleach them. That change in appearance, as the disciples were able to see Jesus in that heavenly glory that is rightfully His. But then also, there appeared two figures talking with Jesus. Moses, the great lawgiver from the Old Testament, who gave the Ten Commandments to the children of Israel as he brought them down from Mount Sinai. Moses, that one who led the Exodus out of slavery and bondage in Egypt, to the promised land, and that one who had looked at the promised land from afar but was buried there on the top of Mount Nebo, But now he's in the promised land. That Mount of Transfiguration is in the promised land. Moses finally, after his death, enters into the promised land. And then also Elijah, that great prophet of the Old Testament, who declared God's word to his people. But the topic of conversation is the point of the reading. They were talking about Jesus' departure. His departure that would be accomplished in Jerusalem. They talk about his reason for his coming. Indeed, there in Jerusalem, he would suffer that cruel death on the cross that he had told his disciples about just 8 days earlier. But they yet don't comprehend what he means by that he will be betrayed and rejected and killed, but then rise again. Yes, his departure that would take place at Jerusalem as he would journey there to offer his life as that once and for all ransom for your and my sins, and to rise again to give us that gift and promise of a promised land, heaven itself, where we will see Jesus face to face. And then if that wasn't enough to see those two figures talking with Jesus and to see Jesus in his heavenly brightness, then there was a cloud that came over the mountain. A cloud, a sign of God's presence. What was it that went before the children of Israel on their journey to the promised land? But a cloud, a pillar of cloud that guided them. And in other instances too, the cloud of God filled the temple in Jerusalem. That sign of God's presence. And so God himself present on the Mount of Transfiguration. And then the voice. A voice that was heard earlier at the baptism of Jesus. A voice certainly that spoke, I think, to encourage Jesus for that lonely walk to Jerusalem, but also for the disciples to encourage them and to focus them. The voice that said, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." Yes, the very Son of God, the chosen one, none other than the one who is anointed to be our Savior. He alone is the one who is our hope for forgiveness and eternal life. He is the one that needs to be our focus. And Peter, tempestuous Peter, the one that's always first to act, says, "You know, Jesus, it's good to be here. Why don't we put up a tent for you, and we'll put a tent up for Moses and one for Elijah, and we'll just stay here in the beauty and splendor of this place." But he didn't really know what he was saying. For Jesus could not stay there. And all of a sudden, things changed. And Jesus was there alone. Moses and Elijah were gone. The voice was silent. And the cloud had disappeared. And Jesus is there alone with them. That needs to be our focus as we enter the Lenten season. Jesus alone. Our focus is to be on him. As we come to him confessing our sin and our guilt and the reason that he had to go to Jerusalem for our sake and to lay down his life on Calvary's cross and to rise again for us. That we focus in on him and for a while ignore the things of the world that distract us. And in our Lenten devotions, in our Lenten services, that we focus on Jesus alone. For he is the chosen one. From heaven above to earth he came to be our Savior. And like Moses, we have to wait a while to enter into the promised land. Into that promised land where we will see Jesus face to face in that heavenly glory and brightness. That which Peter, James, and John merely got to see for a moment, we will see for all eternity as we bow before Jesus, the Son of God. Our risen and living Savior who lives for us today and every day to bless us daily with his forgiveness as we take up our cross and follow him. The Savior waits to give us in the fullness that glorious eternal life in heaven, that gift that is ours even now already, that we have to wait to open it in its fullness. Yes, Lord, bless us as we enter into that season of Lent, as we focus on you alone, as we journey to the cross and see there your amazing love for us that sealed our forgiveness and has prepared for us that glorious future with you in heaven. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.